Well, good morning.
Good morning.
As John said, my name is Tim Lafferty, and I serve as the director of Johnny and Friends here in New England. And Johnny and Friends is a ministry to families impacted by disabilities around the world and an equipping ministry for the church. And the vision of Johnny and Friends is to accelerate Christian ministry in the disability community around the world. And I served on the pastoral staff at Crossway Christian Church for 13 years prior to becoming the area director here at, of Johnny and Friends here in New England just a year and a half ago. And although I have only been on staff at Johnny and Friends for a year and a half, my family and I have a long relationship with Johnny and Friends that I will talk about a little bit later this morning. But it is a real joy and a privilege for me and my wife Joan to be with you all this morning on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Today we join with hundreds and thousands of churches across the country in upholding the value of all human life from the moment of conception to the moment of death. And this Sunday was not picked at random. Sanctity of Life Sunday is always observed on the Sunday closest to January 23rd, the day in 1973 when the Supreme Court handed down its infamous Roe v. Wade decision, which legalized abortion on demand in America. And it's hard to believe that that was 46 years ago. And estimates put the numbers at 50 to 60 million babies that have been aborted in the United States since that time. And looking at some statistics, reported terminations of pregnancy back in 2014, just in this country alone, were 652,639, which is just, those are staggering numbers. And yet, from 1990 to 2014, we are seeing that the numbers are decreasing. So in the midst of all of the painful truth of that, we are seeing some improvements. And the reality is we live in a culture that devalues life here in the U.S. and all around the world. And we can see that play out in all kinds of different ways. We see it with the unborn and the termination of life with unborn babies. We see that even after people have been born, how lives may be devalued for all kinds of different reasons. And we certainly see it as well at when it comes toward end of life issues, whether that's in somebody who has lived a long life or somebody perhaps who has lived a very short life. But we are seeing the devaluation of life at all of those different stages throughout. During the years I served on the pastoral staff at Crossway, had many, many opportunities to minister and walk alongside families going through all kinds of difficult situations. And there was one family in particular a number of years ago that I remember very clearly. This family had three children, and they were expecting their fourth child, and we rejoiced, and they rejoiced at God's gift and blessing of another life. Early on in the pregnancy, it was discovered that there was something wrong. There was, in fact, a genetic defect in that baby, and it was trisomy, one of the numbers there. In that particular situation and diagnosis meant that most likely that child would not make it to full term alive. And if it did, that it would not live more than perhaps a few hours. And the doctors in this family lived in Nashua, and the doctors suggested to the family that they really should consider terminating the life of that child. And this family would never consider that. And they realized that this baby, this life was a gift from God. And so they decided to go through the entire pregnancy, which they did. And shortly before the baby was born, its heart had stopped. And so it was a stillborn, And they went to the hospital, and the baby was delivered. And I had the privilege of being there moments after the baby was delivered to spend time with that family and their three other children to rejoice in the gift of this child, but also grieve that this child had passed away. And I saw both the aspects of the joy of life and the celebration of God, but also the heartfelt grief that that family realized as well. And as they walked through their journey, God used their situation and their story to impact many, many people, both in the medical community and without, as they went through that very, very difficult pregnancy. There are some things in life, and even the Bible, that may be hard for us to understand. And there are things in the Bible that certainly we think we understand. But there are some things in the Bible that we cannot misunderstand. And one of the things we cannot misunderstand is how God feels about the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life is all about God. It did not start in the mind of man. It started in the mind of God. And we see that from the very beginning in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, when we look through the creation account. And we see God creating the heavens and the earth, giving light into the darkness. And throughout the creation account, we see God creating all things in heaven and on earth. And as God is creating, he looks and he steps back and he says, "It is good." And on the sixth day, God creates man. And in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, which was read earlier, God says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. He created God. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And at the end of that section, God, it's the first time where God looks at all that he created and he says, "It is very good." And God says that after he creates humans. And the reason God created men and women is because it is humans that reflect the image and the glory of God. We can live and talk and have fellowship with our Creator. God placed human beings on earth to represent his reign and to reign over all that he made. And we are a living image of God, and we're created in his likeness. We are made to reflect his majesty on the earth. And it's amazing to think that Scripture confirms that we, every single person, is created in the image of God. And that's an amazing truth that I want us to really understand deep in our hearts today. And as we look at the creation around us, it too gives glory to God. The redwood trees of California are majestic, and some are so large that you can drive a truck through an opening at the bottom. Antelope in Colorado apparently have eyes that are equivalent to a 7-point binocular. And that strikes me because just on Friday I went to the doctor and I am beginning to have some serious challenges with my eyesight. And yet, as I see how God creates, and looking at the antelope there in Colorado, that their eyes are incredible because God is the creator of all good things. The sun and the moon and the stars continue to capture the attention of scientists who are amazed by them. And although all of these give glory to God, they were not created in his image. The sanctity of life was instituted by God because only humans are created in his image and reflect his glory. The culture in which we live in today may devalue the life of the unborn or even try to say that it's not really a life. But Scripture makes it very clear when God starts to develop that image. God starts at conception to develop a child. We read in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, which we read earlier as well. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And I love how David says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the truth is that every single person is fearfully and wonderfully made. David affirms that the work of God in his life extended back to when he was in his mother's womb. You knit me means you wove me together. That explains the work of God in creating the person in his mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made means I am an awesome wonder of God. In your book has the idea that the life of the person, the structure and meaning of a person's life, was all established from the very beginning by God, and it was done in the womb. God starts at conception to develop a child. If we look at the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it reads, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was keenly aware of God's call on his life that had been destined by God before conception. He quoted God as saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Knew you means God called him to perform a critical mission at a critical point in the history of the nation of Israel. Jeremiah was to be a prophet to the nation of Judah and a messenger of God to all the nations. The fact is, God starts at conception to develop a child, and God has a plan and a purpose for every single life. More than 30 years ago, Pam and her husband Bob were serving as missionaries in the Philippines and praying for a fifth child. Pam contracted amoebic dysentery, an infection of the intestines caused by a parasite found in contaminated food or drink. She went into a coma and was treated with strong antibiotics before they discovered that she was pregnant. Doctors urged her to abort the baby for her own safety, telling her the medicines had caused irreversible damage to her baby. She refused the abortion and cited her Christian faith as the reason for her hope that her son would be born without the devastating disabilities physicians predicted. While pregnant, Pam nearly lost their baby four times, but still refused to consider abortion. She made a pledge to God with her husband. If you will give us a son, we'll name him Timothy, and we'll make him a preacher. Pam ultimately spent the last 2 months of her pregnancy in bed and eventually gave birth to a healthy baby boy on August 14, 1987. Now, you may be thinking that was me, given my name is Timothy, but that date gives away that that wasn't me. Indeed, Pam's youngest son is a preacher. He preaches in prisons, makes hospital visits, and serves with his father's ministry in the Philippines. He also played football and even some baseball. His name is Tim Tebow. Tim started his own foundation and hosts an annual Night to Shine prom for people with disabilities all around the world. It will take place this year in less than 2 weeks on Friday night, February 8th. This is the fifth year of Night to Shine, and it will be held in 600 locations in over 20 countries around the world. Thousands of people with special needs will be celebrated and affirmed. They are loved by God and created in His image. And we at Johnny Friends have the opportunity to come alongside several of the churches in New England who are hosting Night to Shine and help equip their volunteers to serve the wonderful people that God will bring to these proms. But it's amazing that those 30 years ago, where Pam and her husband were encouraged that that life inside of her would be better off aborted or dead than alive. And Tim Tebow does a wonderful job of bearing witness to God's amazing grace and the fact that he as well was created in the image of God, and he serves families impacted by disabilities all around the world. To God be the glory. 30 years ago, my wife and I, our two sons, who at the time were 3.5 years old and 1.5 years old, were diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And that'll be 30 years ago, middle of next month, coming up to that. And I remember that day very, very clearly when we got the call to go into the doctor's office because something was wrong. Our boys had had some delays along the way in walking and talking, but once they started, they seemed to make up ground fairly quickly. To us, there was nothing significantly wrong, and people would often say, well, boys tend to develop a little slower, so there were no red flags to us. But we went in to meet with the doctor, and our son Pete, who was 3.5 at the time, was tested first. And we were told that day that Pete has muscular dystrophy. And the particular type, as I said, is Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And the doctor didn't mince his words when he said, it is fatal and there is no cure. And back then, the stated lifespan for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which only affects boys, was teens, maybe early 20s, if you were lucky. And I remember how coming out of that, my heart literally broke. And our other son, Joe, was tested. And just a couple days later, it was confirmed that he had that as well. And so Joan and I grieved. Our hearts broke. And yet we know that they were gifts from God, that they were created in His likeness, that God had a plan and a purpose for their lives. And over these years, God has given us a front row seat to see how He works in the lives of our boys. And it has been amazing to see, and we give God all of the glory. If we were raising our sons, we knew that their life might be shorter than what we had planned or hoped for, and yet that their life had value, and that as a parent, our biggest responsibility was help them to come to know the Lord, and as a family to put the Lord first in our life and all that we did. And we knew that the boys would have significant needs, and we would do our best to take care of those needs. But Joan and I also realized that this was way beyond anything that we could do. And so it was truly an opportunity for us to really trust that, God, we know we can't do this, but You can. And we've had the blessing over these years of watching how God has worked in amazing ways. And one of the passages that as a family that we have anchored on, and we have claimed this as our family life verse for all these years, is a passage from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18, where the Apostle Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And this, over the years, allowed us to really focus on what really matters. and celebrate the gift of life and to share our sons with the world as well. And as I said earlier, God had a plan and a purpose for our boys. And as I mentioned earlier, I have only served as the director for Johnny and Friends here in New England for a year and a half. So I'm still fairly new in that role. But we as a family got involved with Johnny and Friends back in the year 2000 when we attended our very first family retreat. And family retreats are five days at camp for families impacted by disabilities. And we went to our very first one not knowing what to expect, and we absolutely loved it. It's a Christ-centered retreat where every single person is valued and lifted up and to know that they are created in His image. And we have had the privilege over the years of serving at Johnny and Friends through family retreats and through other ways as well. And we were thrilled this past summer in August when Pastor John and Allie and Charlie and Hudson joined us at the family retreat. And I know it had a big impact on them, and it was a joy for us to spend that week with them and to see how God is at work in their life, for them to be refreshed and to come alongside other families impacted by disabilities. And Hudson is a gift to the Taylor family, to Pastor John and Allie, and to his brothers as well, to Hudson's brothers. And we celebrate them. And Charlie is a gift to this church, and he is a gift to the world, because Charlie, like all people, has been created. Hudson, like all people, and Charlie, been created in the image of God. And God has a plan and a purpose for every single life. God is not just concerned about when life starts, but He's also concerned when it stops. When God decided what God decides to start, He does not give us the liberty to decide when to end. In Genesis chapter 1, which I read earlier as well, we're told, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." And then we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, we're told, "You shall not murder." This shows us the kind of value God places on human life. What God started, He does not give us the liberty to end. The beginning of life and the end of life is completely up to God, not up to us. It grieves my heart that the country of Iceland is proud that they have cured Down syndrome by aborting every child with that diagnosis in 2017 and 2018. And it's headed that way in many other countries as well. And I think the statistics are 90% of babies that are diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted. And that's a staggering, and then countries like Iceland celebrate the fact that they don't have anybody with Down syndrome in the country. I can only imagine how this grieves the very heart of God. Whether it's abortion or end-of-life issues such as euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide, we live in a world in which people want to decide when to terminate a life. What God decides to start, He doesn't give us the liberty to decide when to end. And Johnny Erickson Tata, who is the founder of Johnny and Friends, Johnny broke her neck in a diving accident in the Chesapeake Bay when she was 17 years old, and she became a quadriplegic. And Johnny has lived from that point to today in a wheelchair. And Johnny is 69 years old, and this year is the 40th year of the ministry of Johnny and Friends. And God took that terrible accident and has used Johnny and used that to point people to God and to minister to those impacted by disabilities all around the world. And it's amazing to see how God works. And His ways are not our ways. His ways are always perfect, and God does not make mistakes. God loves what he sees in the womb, although we learn from Scripture as well that the infant is sinful from the day it's conceived. Psalm 51, verse 5 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." David recognizes as an unborn child, he stood before God as a sinner because he reflected the sinful nature of Adam, the first person God ever made. He relates his sinfulness to the inception of life. Psalm 58, verse 3 tells us, "Even from birth, the wicked go astray. From the womb, they are wayward and speak lies." This psalm is addressing the wicked judges of Micah's day and notes the problem started in the womb. Every one of us is a sinner. Frankly, we don't like to see ourselves that way. But Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And in Romans 6:23, it tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Although the bad news is bad, the good news is there's another thing God wants to say about the sanctity of life. It tells us just how much God loves life. God so loves life that he wants everyone, every single person on earth, to live with him. God not only loves us coming into the world, but he wants us to be with him forever. This is why one of the best known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We are sinners from the day we're born, and yet God loves us. Because we are sinners, we deserve to die. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came into the world and took your sin and mine and placed them upon himself, and he died in our place. He was our substitute. He saved us by dying for us. National Geographic once told a story about a recreational area in the West where some years ago a man took his young son fishing. He brought only one life vest along with him. And when the boat capsized, the man put the vest on his son and he pushed him towards the shore. The last words his son ever heard his father say was, "I love you." In other words, the father saved him by dying for him. And Jesus Christ saved us by dying for us. He took the punishment for our sin, died in our place, and he rose again. All God asks us to do is to receive his salvation as a free gift by trusting in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life." If you want to know how God feels about the sanctity of life, all we have to do is look at these three things: conception, the cradle, and the cross. At conception, God made it possible for life to start. At the cradle, God made it possible for life to be seen. And at the cross, God made it possible for life to be saved. I mentioned my sons and our boys earlier, and they truly did live amazing lives. And our youngest son, Joe, God called him home back in 2007 at the age of 20. And God gave us 9 more years with Pete after Joe, and they were 2 years apart. Pete was older, and we had the gift of 9 extra years with Pete after Joe. And the last 10 months of Pete's life, he was diagnosed with cancer on top of the muscular dystrophy that he lived with his entire life. And after Pete was diagnosed with cancer, he came to Joan and I a couple of months after that and said he wanted to make a video that would play at his service, but he didn't want us to see it. And then one night, Joan and I had gone off to our small group at another home, and we always had to have somebody at home with our boys, and at that point with Pete. So a friend of Pete's came over that night, and brought over some video equipment, and we knew that Pete was going to record the message that he wanted to record that evening. And we got home, and his friend left. I said to Pete, "How'd it go?" And he said, "Good." And I didn't ask him what he said, but I knew one day we would see that. And in fact, we did. God called Pete home in December 2016 at the age of 31. And he, as well as Joe, had an amazing life, and God used them in amazing ways. And his service was a celebration of God's goodness, the gift of life, and God's hand upon Pete. And we worshiped, and we celebrated, we gave thanks to God. And we were surrounded at his service by 800 other people. And we had an opportunity for the very first time to see what Pete wanted to share. And Joan and I, as we wrap up this message, I wanted to share that video with you today. And Charlie's going to come and get that set up. But again, we didn't, after our lead pastor gave a wonderful message, after we had had a time of worship, some people had shared about our son Pete. And Pastor Ron, coming out of the message, set up this video. And it was interesting because I think many people were expecting that it might be just a video of Pete's life with some pictures. But as Pastor Ron shared, that this was a video that Pete wanted to make for his service. And so we wanted to share that with you, and then I will close with a few remaining thoughts.
Hello, it's me. Greetings from heaven. Thank you for coming out today to celebrate a blessed life indeed. I know this is a difficult time for all of you, but I have some words of wisdom and reflections from a wonderfully blessed life. First and foremost, my faith is what got me to this point and what got me to a better place called heaven. My faith is summed up on this verse, which is John 3:16 from the Bible, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I give you permission to grieve me on this earth, but do not grieve like people without hope. First of all, I want to thank you, Mom and Dad. You just truly made my life a blessing, and you always encouraged and supported me and kept me going when the times got tough. The adventures we went on were so fun, and you treated me and my brother so well, and I'm so grateful to be spending time with Joe again, and I'll be waiting for you guys. Everyone, please support my parents at this difficult and troubling time. They will count on your support, and just be there for them. My Crossway Christian Church family, I just thank you for developing and growing my faith and helping me when times were difficult, and just being a great spiritual place for me and just inspiring my faith and keeping me going. My Giant Friends family, you mean the world to me. You made my disability not be a limitation, but be used for the greater good, and I thank you for that. My Toastmasters family, you were just so great to me, and you helped me learn to develop my speaking voice, which comes in handy at a time like this. All my friends from various groups and from church and anywhere else where I've made friends, I just thank you for my friendship, and I felt like I was blessed with great friends no matter what. But one thing I want you all to know is to please believe in Jesus if you have not done so already. And I promise you, you will see me again someday. And don't give up on faith if you have faith. Don't give up and keep moving forward, and God will get you through. And you don't have to worry, you will end up in a far better place with a lot more things to do. And before I go, here is one more thing I want you to know. I have fought the good fight, I have won the race, and I have kept the faith. This isn't goodbye, but see you later. Love you.
Thank you, Charlie. I truly long and look forward to the day when God will call me home and I will join our sons forever in eternity with our Lord and Savior. And it's a reminder to me that God values every single life, that we were created in His image, that each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we as a church have the opportunity in this world and as people to proclaim that in the dark world in which we live, and have the opportunity to shine the light of Jesus and to be His hands and feet in this world. And so I want to encourage us this morning to come alongside those that are hurting, those that perhaps have had an abortion, that are dealing with pain in the grief of that, and to know that because of what Jesus has done on the cross, that there's forgiveness for them, there's forgiveness for all of us in our sin, and that we can boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus that is available for every single person, and to be reminded that life is precious and life is a gift from God. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that you are the author and the creator of life. And God, that you are the one who is in control of all these things. Father, it's amazing to know that we, your people, and all people are created in your image. That regardless of ability or disability, that you have a plan and a purpose for each life that you place into this world. And Lord, we pray that hearts would change in this country and around the world, and that life would be valued, that people would see life through your eyes and not their own. And Lord, I pray that your church would be a bright light for life in this world, that we would proclaim your truth, the truth of your word. We would proclaim your gospel. And Lord, that we would be men and women of grace as we come alongside others who are hurting in all kinds of ways. Father, I pray for this church, Christ Church of the Redeemer, that it would continue to be a bright light here in Manchester and the surrounding communities. And I pray, Lord, that you would together give us that boldness to go out and to boldly proclaim your truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dark, dark world. And Lord, through it all, we just thank you and we give you the praise and all of the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.